it breaks my heart because I ended up training Martin and Rocky because he asked me to help out because he was sick. And then because he wasn't well enough to get back into the training, then they just continued training with me. And it's just a horrible feeling because I feel like I don't want to be in this position, even though I love this job, because I'd rather him be here and me not be in this position. I'd rather him be here and do it. And life's fucking cruel, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, it sounds James. I sound like some host, some The Price is Right business. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you the former British Commonwealth and European.
Oh, I thought you were going to forget that.
I can't forget. What do you mean? Yeah, but I've been learning from you now. The former British Commonwealth and European champion, the one, the now former fighter, train, world championship.
Yeah. Wait, yeah, remember? And British Border Control, trainer of the year.
Trainer of the year.
Don't forget that one.
The one, the only, Mr. Jamie Moore. We can't let that one slip. We're going to put the MBE at the end of it. That's all we're waiting for now.
Yeah. Right. The fighter's fighter. Just remember that.
The fighter's fighter. Yeah, you know, not a lot of these... You know what
everyone forgets as well, don't you?
Go on.
The Irish champion. That's my heritage, man. We've got to remember that.
Big up the Irish man there. We got the... Yes, sir. You know Irish is powers.
Yeah,
Irish,
you know that.
The green, Nigerian. You know you're related to Nigerians because we got green in the flag as well.
Yeah. And you're both like Guinness.
Yeah, trust me. Yeah. Anyway, Jay, yes. Spencer Fireweek, I know you got a lot of questions for Jay.
Yep. The fight on the weekend, your fighter, Chantel Cameron,
yeah,
becoming the WBC super lightweight champion
of the world.
Of the world, you know. Okay,
come on.
Talk us through the fight. How do you feel about producing another world champion?
God, you keep on doing it, my son.
I was over the moon for her, mate. Honestly, obviously, it was a great night for everyone involved, but she's a lovely girl and she's been through a tough time over the last few years, and to see her come from that point in time and switch her life around and get to the point where she was coming into the boxing gym and smiling again and enjoying the sport.
Yes.
To get her to that stage and then to even surpass that and reach the top of the mountain and get her a world title, amazing. So MTK invested into her, put her on their shows, got her a deal with Matchroom, Eddie Earn delivered the goods. And I feel like this is the start for now because she's an exciting fight to watch.
She's only 12 fights in though.
Exactly. I know the girl. She boxed only had 6 fights, but she was very experienced amateur. Achieved a lot as the amateur, a lot bigger on the night because she didn't make the weight and stuff. So that made us alter our game plan a little, not too much, but I didn't want to take as many risks early on as she might have done if it had been a more of a level playing field. So, but I was really happy with her performance.
So, like, the camp's growing. And also, well, look, before I even go any further, let me just big up Nigel Travis as well. Yes. You know what I mean? Just an unsung hero. Get some of it. Not about the hype or the adulation or anything else like that.
Wasn't Travis at Fitzroy Lodge?
He's at Fitzroy Lodge. Me and Travis boxed.
Yeah, I remember.
And he beat me on a majority, but it weren't. It's actually unanimous.
I'm hearing different stories, but I ain't got a job.
I'm going to be real. I didn't. You know what? I thought me fighting Travis was going to be a walk in the park. I'm going to tell you the honest truth, yeah? Because... Yeah. The year before, he boxed at middleweight and he lost to Seymour Johnson, former ABA champion.
I remember Seymour.
Body shots. I can honestly hold my hands up and say I was a gym fighter because in the gym I could beat up anybody.
Anybody.
Bro,
I remember you used to break up tackle with him. This guy, he's a world champion gym fighter. Telling you.
Right?
Everybody used to talk about Spencer in the gym.
And I thought, yeah, very easy thing. And I ain't going to lie. Like he boxed very, very clever So big up Nigel Travis, because me and him are good mates. I love that guy. Yeah. Very, very humble man. I remember, who was it? It was George Groves George Groves, Carl Froch, the first fight. So we got to Manchester, me and Darren Hamilton, and like we got there, but we got there late. And as we got there late, because we're driving from London, we got there late, it was like, it was madness for the tickets. And like Travis had his wristbands and that. Like we had our tickets anyway, but we couldn't get the tickets because the box office was closed. And Travis was like, nah, come with me, Spence. What are you doing? And I ain't seen Travis in years at that time. I got nothing but love for him and his old man. His old man's good people, man.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned him because you're right. Without his help, my gym wouldn't run the way it does. It would be impossible. So he doesn't get a lot of credit. I think it all sort of lands on my feet when the guys do well in the gym. But a funny story. When I did get awarded Trainer of the Year, the first thing I said when I got up there was, listen, the first thing I've got to do is I need to get Nigel Travers up here because without his help, I wouldn't be stood up here in front of you guys.
Come
so on. The room applauded and Nigel came up. And that was the last thing I said. That was literally the last thing I said because Nigel stood there and did a 10-minute speech about he's giving my side, and that was it. Yeah. I missed my moment to the Nigel, man, but I'd give it up for him every day of the week.
You know, there's an old African proverb that says, go fast alone or go further together.
There you go.
And you guys are doing that, man. So I've got to big you guys up. I've also got to big up your former trainer, Oliver Harrison. May he rest in paradise.
Yes, sir.
Because I know you and Oliver were very, very close.
Mate, listen. I don't think I had this conversation when I was in the lockdown with Boxing Social, and I'm still struggling with it now. And it was only recently my wife said to me, we went to see his gravestone, his headstone had just only recently gone up, and it was the first time I got emotional about it, and I think that was the starting point of me realising I've not grieved about it, to be honest, and there's a few people who come into your life and leave an impact what you could never even put into words.
Yes, yes, yes.
What it meant to you and how much you'll take from that for the rest of your life. And I'm constantly trying to pass on these different things to the lads in the gym. It'll never be the same as it would have been from him. I think a little bit of it's difficult to explain, but I feel like the only reason I'm doing this is because he's not here, which is, it breaks my heart because I ended up training Martin and Rocky because he asked me to help out because he was sick. And then because he wasn't well enough to get back into the training, then they just continued training with me. And it's just a horrible feeling because I feel like I don't want to be in this position, even though I love this job, because I'd rather him be here and me not be in this position. I'd rather him be here and do it. And life's fucking cruel, man.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And, you know, for me personally, you know, I only met Oliver a few times, but, bro, you know, me and you, we spoke about this, you know, energy goes where energy flows. And you can feel, whenever I was around Oliver, you can feel the beautiful energy. He's just somebody that, man, great, you know, great guy.
It was contagious. It was contagious. And that's why people gravitated to him. You know, even though he was a man of few words,
but
you could feel that energy. And that speaks volumes in itself, doesn't it?
100%. 100%.
It was a man in like Oliver. Like, he'd phone me and we'd be on the phone for hours speaking about boxing. And I'm that kind of guy. Yeah. I'll just ring people just out of the blue. How are you doing, mate? And I just want to, I love talking boxing with people. I actually love it. But like, also with Oliver, he was just real. You know what I mean? You know, like you get certain people sugarcoat things or all the rest of it. He was just real, just silly as it is. It's like, that's why I just love that guy, you know?
Everyone speaks about people who keep it real, and he was definitely one of them who kept it real. But it's just, I think I'm going to have to go through a process soon because, you know,
you can see
recently, in fact, it was just before lockdown, Lerone's son, hadn't trained since his dad passed away, got in touch, wanted to come down to the gym and do a bit of training. So I've been training Lerone, and he's a good kid, and he, you know, obviously he'd only ever train with his dad. So for me, he was emotional because I felt privileged that he'd come to me in the first place.
That speaks volumes.
You know, you're never ever, ever in a million years going to replace that man. But I feel like I'm probably the closest one to it because I got to spend 10 years and absorb all the knowledge and energy off him. And I did it for 3 years at the beginning, totally on my own. There was no one else there, so I had his undivided attention. And so that was worth probably 10 years in itself. So I can never express the gratitude what I've got for them years, you know what I mean?
Listen, Jay, bro, this is an emotional. I can, bro, it's not even what's coming out your mouth. You can feel it. I can feel the emotion, and I feel what this man meant to you and what he's done for you in your life. And you know, now when I look at you, it's like I'm seeing Oliver. You understand the work, the way the performances. The way these young fighters are now gravitating to you, they're actually gravitating to Oliver, you know, because Oliver lives inside of you.
I love that. And if I can be 10% of the trainer he was, and you know, try and replicate and keep his, you know what, I want to keep his legacy going. He never wanted to be in the limelight, and probably that's probably part of the reason, or a big part of the reason why he probably doesn't get the recognition. He's getting it afterwards.
Yes.
But he never wanted the limelight. He wanted it for the fighters. But we want me and Martin Murray, Rocky Fielding, we want to keep that legacy going. Lerone, his son. You know, me and him have had a few emotional conversations over the months, and you know, in the long run, I'm sure we'll have some great nights, and we'll look back and we'll shed some tears. But
yes,
we'll do for the great man.
Well, you had some great nights. You've had some great nights throughout your career. Like, the war that you and Matthew Macklin,
bruv, that was a serious fight,
bruv.
That fight, hold on, let me big up that fight there,
bruv.
That fight, I remember watching that fight, and I was like, bruv, what's going on here? And I don't know, because you're Southpaw, right, Jay? Yeah, you're Southpaw, and KO. Legendary.
You know, after that, I'm going to tell you this, after that fight, Matthew Macklin went to another level, you know that. After that fight made Matthew Macklin become the man that challenged for world titles.
Yes.
Win European titles at middleweight. That fight there was one serious fight, my friend.
Big fight. Big fight.
So it's, I think I'm still broke from that, I think. I don't think, when you're involved in a fight like that, I don't think you're ever the same again. You know, I had a couple of tough fights again after that, but I don't feel like I could have ever dug that deep again. I knew I would have to before it. I told anyone who would listen, this will be fight of the year, because I knew Matt, we was friends before it, and you know, there's that pride thing, so it makes you dig that extra 10%. And in a strange way, I enjoyed it. I loved exciting fighters. Nigel Benn was my hero. I loved that type of fighter, but never in a million years when I turned pro did I imagine that I'd be involved in a fight while people would still, you know, it was 14 years ago, people are still talking about it today.
Wow.
Because
you've got Nigel Benn up there. Go show me. I know you got Nigel Benn up in the arsenal.
Nigel Benn's up here, so I've met him a few times. He's a legend, and he signed a few pictures for me. Yeah. This is just a little quick scoot here. So this is our spare little sleepover room, and I let Carl Frampton and Stephen Ward stay there recently, but This is like a little bit of a wall of fame. It's gathering momentum at the moment, guys.
Yes.
Like Tyson, Marvin Agua, Ricky De La Hoya, Guerrero, Sugar Ray.
Come on.
And so talking about legendary people, you see that Kerry Case.
Kerry Case,
What a man Kerry Case is. He's like literally top three of my favourite people in the world.
Yeah, I remember I drove up to Manchester and Kerry was, he's such a great guy, man. He was taking us around the place, showing us. I remember them days, Kerry's been around for a long time and a real figurehead for Manchester.
Literally on the same sort of level as Oliver in terms of the impact he's had on my life and the lessons I've taught of him. He strength coached me for the last 3 years of my life.
Okay.
My career.
Yes.
And we used to train. It only lasted 20 minutes, say. And we'd always sit down and have a cup of coffee afterwards. And we'd sit there for half an hour, 40 minutes. And the life lessons I learned off that man after training was more valuable than the training was itself.
Come on.
I learned so much off him, and I'll never, ever be able to get that back. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Right. You've had an amazing step up, because when Carl Frampton came to you, and there's talk about Carl Frampton now could be fighting Jermell Herring. That's the talk. Well, you know, you're his trainer, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that's the whispers that we're hearing right now. And I'd like to see that fight happen, because that puts Carl in the position to become a freeweight world champion. Ireland's never ever done that. So for an Irish fighter. So it's when we're looking at that, how did it feel? Because we knew that you're training guys. You was working with Matthew Macklin. Was Matthew Macklin's tail end of his career with MTK Global, and then you get the Frampton. What
Tommy Coyle basically got me into training. He came with Steve. Came to the gym, asked me to help him out for the Derry Matthews fight. I was adamant I didn't want to get involved in training, and it felt like it kept cropping up. And You know the score, lads. The universe was sending me their messages.
Come on.
My wife said to me, "You keep telling me that everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
This keeps coming up. Just go with it. Go with it and see where it takes you." And he took me to an outdoor stadium in Hull. He lost in the end to Derry Matthews.
But he put a hell of a fight, man. Himself. He put a really good account of himself.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was winning the fight, and then he got caught with it. It was a left hook, I believe, wasn't it?
He won nearly every round. He got caught with a big left hook in the 10th round. I'd warned him about it for 10 weeks beforehand. I told him what Derry would do. And he switched off for a second, and that was it. But he got a lot of credit afterwards.
Right, for yourself.
And then, Matt Macklin approached me and asked me to train him. And then, so I sort of played around with it a little bit. And then it was only at the stage when Oliver was sick, I sort of got busier with it. And then it was literally 3 or 4 weeks after that happened, it was when I got a phone call out of Blue or Carl asking me to if I'd be interested. So he came over, we had a couple of days, and that was that. And then obviously with someone with his prestige and his name in the game, he sort of gathered momentum and it had a snowball effect. And I've got 10 pros now.
That's crazy,
amazing.
Isn't it?
That's amazing.
And of your 10 pros, how many are not signed with MTK Global?
I think there's only two. Yeah, Aki Fiaz and Mark Leach.
Okay.
So the rest of them are MTK, yeah?
Yeah, because you know me, I sing the praises of MTK. Sorry, Tundi is coughing now. He needs water, sir. Right? So it's I can't stop bigging up MTK Global for the simple fact, everybody within that organization actually acts as family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is when it says MTK Global, it's also MTK Global and also MTK Multicultural, because just the culture. I can show people this now, right? Because every year we go out to Dubai, and when we're out in Dubai, I'm always with Jamie and his family. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that me and Jamie's family are pretty close. And my daughters love Jamie. Yes. On another level, my little girls love him. But it's not even Jamie. It's Jamie's... You know when they say that apple don't fall far from the tree?
Yes.
If you ever meet Jamie's dad, and this is the madness, when you was getting ready to fight Kovalev,
yes,
you and Anthony, yeah?
Yes.
Jamie sends me a message. Oh, yeah, just tell Tundi good luck. Right? I'm by a pool. And that's why I say this energies thing is serious.
It's serious.
I'm by a pool in Turkey, because we're on holiday.
But hold on. Remember, Jamie came and done the thing with Sky, with me and Otu.
It's serious. Right?
On.
So, I'm there, and as I'm there, some guy was sat beside me with his family, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, you're Spencer Verone." I said, Yeah, I can't hide. I'm even in Turkey. Can't get away with it. You know what I mean? I'm famous.
Spencer,
now.
We know who you are, Spencer. Don't worry about that.
So I'm there, and the geezer was saying to me, "Oh, yeah, I've done some work with Jamie's dad. You know Jamie Moore? I said, do I know Jamie? I said, Jamie Moore just sent me a message. Yes. He said, for real? I said, then I rang Jamie. I said, oh, speak to this geezer. He knows your old man. And then they were speaking. See? It's nuts, isn't it?
This thing works.
Energy
goes where energy flows.
It is proper, proper crazy. And it was like, Jamie, if you ever meet Jamie's parents, you know why he's like that. Yes. Because Jamie's parents are just top people. It was last year, New Year's. We was out on the beach for New Year's celebration. Jamie's parents were out there as well. And so I'm there with my missus. And it was like, you know, when you're your parent and you got young kids running up and down, you can't really, it's New Year's and you can't get to party. And Jamie's mom said to me, oh, like, is it all right if I look after your kids for you and you can go and dance and all the rest of it? I said, of course you can. Like, she just, Jamie's mom just took my kids, you know, I said, nice. Like, yeah. And they love her, you know, they call her mama more. And just as soon as I got back, what's the first thing I did? When I got back, what's the first thing I did, Jamie?
Gratitude, man.
Thank you.
Sent us a message, and my mum said, "What was you sent? You sent a present through the post."
I sent her chocolates and flowers and a card because she's such a nice. You know,
Spencer's
nice
been
lady.
Doing that. He's been pulling that one of the mothers for years. Trust me, Spencer's been doing that for years. Trust me, that's his little way in.
Oh, I got to keep my own.
Yeah, trust me, he's been doing it.
Hey, wait. If you lot can see that picture, that is Jamie Moore's mother with my little girl Tyler.
Come on.
And that's that. And I've got so much time. Yeah, trust me. Jamie Moore is good people. So, Jamie, what does the future hold, bruv? Let's wrap this up now. What's the future hold for you?
Mate, we've got, so obviously we've had 4 out of 4 since the fights got back in lockdown. And I've got Mark Leach, he's fighting Kez Ashfaq a week on Saturday. And then it looks like Dave Allen is on the Usyk bill as well.
So you just started training Dave Allen. Who's he got?
Yeah, well, he's not matched yet. We're looking at some opponents now, but he should be a decent matchup with the names that are knocking about. So
okay.
Who would you like for him? Come on, let the cat out of the bag.
In a long run,
yeah,
I'd love a rematch with David Price.
Okay,
because I think he could have done himself better. Just, you know what? There's a couple of his performances where I tell you one thing about Dave. When he asked me to train him, I said to him, listen, Dave, you know what, mate? I said, I know I can help you out, but from the outside looking in, there's one person who can help you out, and that's yourself.
Exactly.
I said, you know, there's only so many things I can tell you to do or teach you or advise you to do. But if you come to me 6 weeks before a fight in relatively good shape and close to your fighting weight, we'll smash it. And he went away. He went away. So he came to me for a month. We worked on some stuff, and then he went away back to Doncaster and he worked his ass off. Sent me a message, you know, his weight had come down like nearly a stone, and he's in a good place mentally. And that's not me, that's him. So I did an interview today about this. I said, what I don't want for him is for him to come and put a good performance in his next fight, and then everyone start going, see, that's it, it's gone to Jamie Moore, blah, blah, blah. That's not the case. The fact of the matter is, he's knuckled himself down. He's dedicated himself, and it'll all be down to him, basically.
Again, showing great humility, Jamie. You know this thing works. I'm learning from you, Jay. But it's true. It's absolutely true. But there's not many people. There's not many people who say that. You know, we as trainers, we have to do the best we can do, and it's down to the fighters to do the best they can do. You put the two together.
Exactly. It'd be dead easy for me to sit here and like, so fast forward 3 weeks time on the Usyk bill, Dave Allen goes in there and puts a fantastic performance in.
Yes.
Dead easy for me to sit there and act like a smart ass and go, yeah, I've done this and I've turned Dave's career around. That's not true.
It's not true.
Of the matter is, he came for me so well, but he's knuckled down and he applied himself as he should have done. Yes. And it'll be all down to him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jay, this is a fantastic interview. Bruv, you almost had me in tears at the beginning of the interview, but we've
turned it around, son.
I saw it, and I felt it as well, more than it. But you know what? That's what makes you such a great human being. You know, you wear your heart on your sleeve, you express yourself, and you're just a great guy, Jamie. I said, we go back a long time,
thank
and, you know, you was one of the first man them that come down and give me the little spotlight on Sky TV. And I'm so happy for you. You're doing very well.
Thank you.
Continue to do well. Only passionate people become successful in the craft they choose. And you can see your passion, and you've obviously made a few quid because you've got a spare room.
you know you've made it.
Bro, trust me, when you've got a spare room and the pictures, you've made it, mate. Bless me. But Jay,
I'm quitting now. That's it.
Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us here on The Fight Is Right.
Anytime, boys.
Yeah.
Anytime, boys. My pleasure.
Jamie Moore, the Fighters Fighter. Jamie, big up yourself.
Come on.
Send your love to your beautiful family, your wife and your kids, man. Big up. Keep on doing your thing.
Thank
I'm
you.
Very
you too,
proud
friend.
To call you my friend. Yes, my friend.